This is London Calling.
I'm Graham Mack, and welcome to the programme and Storm Aileen, which is causing all kinds of problems, eh, Daphne?
Oh, what have you done with the weather, Graham?
Don't blame me, it's not my fault.
Well, it's been lightning and thunder and...
Yeah, and a lot of wind. Look out today for scattered branches, toupees and small animals.
Where's the toupee coming from?
This is the kind of day... when if you wear a toupee, you would want a chin strap. Do you brush your teeth in the shower? A major debate broke out this week on Twitter. Some people say it's the way to go. Others say it's just plain weird. Well, I do it. I always brush my teeth in the shower. It's one of the reasons why I have a shower rather than a bath. And besides, peeing in the bath's disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
This is Britain, the home of the speed camera. Yep, we've got cameras on our roads, and if you speed going past one, more than likely it'll take your picture. Then you'll get a ticket in the post, and the first thing you have to do is admit that it was you that was driving the vehicle at the time of the offence. If you're caught speeding... there's a fine of about 100 quid, and 3 points go on your licence. If you get 12 points on your licence over 3 years, you get banned from driving for a bit. Now, Mick, you once had a boss who asked you to pretend it was you that was driving the company van, when in fact it was his son who'd been caught on the camera.
I think your son had about 9 points on his licence.
That's criminal.
So he asked if I could pretend that I was actually driving the van.
And of course you said no.
Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, there's no way I was going to do that. But I found out, asking a lot of the others, he asked everyone in the workshop who would take the points for him.
Jeez, did anyone do it and did anyone take the points for him in the end?
I don't think they did, no. But then again, he didn't lose his licence, so something happened.
Oh, right. So do you still work for this fella?
I don't work for him no more, no.
yeah, good plan, mate. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Graham.
Cheers. Britain's nationalised celebrities Prince William and Kate are expecting their third child. It's one of the most eagerly awaited arrivals in all of show business. We don't know if it's going to be a prince or a princess, but it's a pretty safe bet it won't be born in a National Health Service hospital. Our socialised medical service is only for us plebs. We're the ones who do all the work and pay all the taxes to pay for the royals to live a life of extreme opulence. No other family that lives on state handouts gets to have their children in the private Lindo wing at St Mary's Hospital in Paddington. That's where Prince George and Princess Charlotte were born. As Paul Kelso points out in his excellent article on the Sky News website, imagine the message they would send if they used the NHS maternity facilities around the corner instead. It would be a huge public endorsement of Britain's defining public service. An NHS birth could give a morale boost to nurses who've had a 14% real terms pay cut. Unlike almost everyone else on the public payroll, the royal family's not been asked to take an austerity pay cut. It's not as if William doesn't know what NHS staff are up against. As a publicity stunt, he's worked with them for the last 3.5 years as a part-time pilot for the East Anglian Air Ambulance. He helped save lives by delivering the seriously injured to the care of the NHS. Having his third born in an NHS hospital would demonstrate he's happy to use the services too, rather than just drop peasants off at the door, which to him must be like taking wildlife that's been injured on the road to the RSPCA. Nightmare House Guests. Users on Reddit have been sharing their stories of house guests who weren't invited back. One explained how the police were involved after a guest crashed their car And another said he came home to find his visitors had killed all his fish. And you've had a house guest from hell. Pete.
I had a close relative come round to stay with us.
Okay, how close?
Very close.
Sibling?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, he's came round, not seen him for a while, but he's come round, he took his shoes off, and the smell was rancid.
Oh, dear.
You could see the steam rising from, and it was a greeny blue haze.
Oh,
dear. Awful.
Yeah.
So we made him wear some of my slippers around the house to try and stem the.
Keep it in, yeah.
And eventually we could start to smell it again. Anyway, when he left, I had to burn my slippers.
Oh, that's and bad.
And I could tell you they went up with them, they didn't take much to light them up.
I'm Graham Mack with the latest panda news, and Edinburgh Zoo has announced that their female giant panda will not give birth to cubs this year. Just before the last public holiday of the year, the zoo announced that Chan Chan might be expecting, which reminded us that the zoo still has pandas and might be worth a visit. It's the sixth time the zoo has announced that Chan Chan might be pregnant just before a public holiday. The zoo's not expected to announce another possible panda pregnancy until at least the next public holiday at Christmas, but more likely Easter, when the weather's better for a trip to the zoo. There's been a big increase in the UK in people being scammed over the phone. You like to turn the tables on the scammer, Sarah.
It's a common, like, workplace one. You have these people phoning up and they say they're from either the police or the fire brigade.
Yeah.
So they get through immediately to the person who they want to speak to because you think it's an emergency. Then when they get through, they're selling advertising space for a magazine that doesn't exist. They're trying to fleece you for 500 quid.
Wow.
We kept having them all the time, like constantly at work, all the time. And you knew that it was them. As soon as you heard the voice, okay, here we go. So we tried everything to get rid of them. Wouldn't work. So one day I said to everyone in the office, right, we're going to approach this differently. So when they phoned up and said they were from the police, they'd be like, oh, are you coming? The dead body's still here. There's blood everywhere. What do we do?
Right.
Or if it's from the fire brigade, we're like, oh my God, the flames are coming up. We're stuck on the ninth floor.
Wow.
Is anyone turned up to us? And it kind of, it stopped it straight away.
It did
away.
Stop it. Just frightened them.
It stopped it straight away, yeah.
Yeah, you
different
just go, oh, thank God you've called.
Yeah.
Apple are starting to confuse me now. The new iPhone's out. Actually, there's two new ones. The iPhone 8 replaces the iPhone 7, and they've also released the iPhone 10. They've skipped 9 completely. And each new Apple phone has more features than the last, but they're also taking away features. With the iPhone 7, they removed the headphone jack. The iPhone 8, they removed the home button. And the iPhone 9, they removed the phone. House guests from hell. Bonzi.
I had a mate stay over one night. We've been out for a beer and I let him stay tonight, you know, it was going early morning. And on our little fireplace, we have a handmade ceramic dish. You know, this is to Alan and Sue on your wedding day, personalised, made by the persons, you know.
Yeah.
And a nice little wedding gift, just sat top of the fire in the living room where he slept. I got up, went to work early Saturday. And my missus paid me lunch and she said, when you get home, empty that dish. It had a wee in that, hadn't it?
It had a wee in that! Oh, dear! Can candy be offensive? Britain's budget shop, Poundland, has been hit by a backlash after calling its M&M's knockoffs Nutters. The packets have three peanut-shaped cross-eyed cartoon characters on them with their mouths open. Mental health campaigners say they're offensive and have called for Poundland to stop selling them. We live in a strange world. a world where mental illness is used as a marketing tool. Most local radio DJs are peanut-shaped and have their photo taken cross-eyed with their mouths wide open and love being called bonkers. In Australia, there's a chain of discount stores called Crazy Prices. There's also a place that sells fitted kitchens called Mad Barry's. And in New Zealand, there's a chain of meat shops called The Mad Butcher. What I want to know is, if they ban nutters, are supermarkets still going to be allowed to sell fruitcakes? Jim's on Skype from Philadelphia. Jim, I'm reading a book at the moment. It's a New York Times bestseller. It's by Neil deGrasse Tyson. And I love the title. It's called Astrophysics for People in a Hurry. It's pretty heavy going. But I had a thought when I was reading it. What if the universe really isn't that big? And it turns out it's just that we're really, really small.
Good. It's good. Good. It's a good theory as any.
Yeah. What if, you know, it's really not that big. You're looking at it all wrong. It just shows you how you think you're a big deal. So you think this is much bigger than you. So then it must be vast. What about you're really small? Have you thought about that? Doesn't it? By all of mankind and scientists saying the universe is this colossally big and it's bazillions of light years across. It's really, really big. Doesn't that make us really, really small?
What if this entire time we've had the scale wrong?
Yeah. And it's not really that big at all. And we're just infinitesimally tiny to hardly even matter. How about that?
It could very well be.
Yeah. It's really not that big. It's about the size of a tennis ball, the universe. That's how small we are.
Yeah.
Because we think that's huge.
Yeah. Maybe the entire universe can fit on a thumbnail.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
You know, it used to fit on something even smaller.
A really tiny piece of it.
They reckon in this book, at the very beginning of it, before the Big Bang, the thing that blew up was something like thousands of times smaller than a full stop on a piece of paper. That's what blew up into the universe with the Big Bang. And everything was all contained in that one thing, smaller than a full stop on a piece of paper. Which fits my theory that the universe isn't that big. We're just really, really small. Like, beyond microscopic small. That's how small we are. But we never think of it like that. We always say the universe is vast. The universe is huge.
Yeah. And expanding all yes. the time. In yeah. every direction.
Maybe we're shrinking. Maybe yeah. we're really small and we're getting even smaller. So to us, it looks like everything else is really big and getting even bigger. It's all about perspective, isn't it? How about, have they thought of that? Do I need to talk to someone at, is it MIT or wherever they do this work?
Yeah, who is it? Oxford? Talk to them, see what they have to say about it.
I've got this idea that you're not even considering. And doesn't science work this way, that all I have to do is publish a paper on this, and if you don't disprove it, then it remains as the theory till someone disproves it? The Mac theory of everything? isn't that it?
Yeah, Einstein's relativity is still a theory. It's just a theory.
It's not been proved. And it stays that way, and he stays famous until someone proves it wrong. Or right. Yeah. Get this thing published. I've got to get to work on this. The Graham Mack theory.
I started to read Stephen Hawking's book.
Yeah. Brief History of Time.
Brief History of Time.
Yeah.
And I've read about 500 pages of it.
Uh-huh.
It's only, I think, 200 pages. But there's something on page 72 that I just can't get.
Yeah.
I've read it 100 times up to page 72.
Right.
And he mentioned something, and it's just, what? It's just his brain gets something that's just so elementary to him.
Yes.
But what? What are you talking about? I start again.
Right.
I miss something. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
It's same place. It's page 72. Nope. Can't get. What are you talking about? Start again. It's not a brief history of time because I've been through it 100 times.
Right. It's a brief history of a waste of time.
Yeah, there's just something, there's a concept, I forget what it is right now.
Well, you know, I have to admit in this Neil deGrasse Tyson book, there are large pieces of that I just go, I don't know what he's on about, I'm just going to move on, maybe it'll get good in a minute, or maybe it'll make sense later. When he gets right down to electrons and...
That's what I have to do with A Brief History of Time.
When he's into electrons and photons and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, whatever, I want to know about stuff, really. It's a bit scary how deep these people are.
Yeah.
But they could be completely wrong. I mean, they come up with some crappy theories. Have you heard of I don't know whether it's a quantum physics one. It's a physics one. And it is that if something is being observed, it acts differently.
Yes.
Well, yeah. You can say that for human nature. Absolutely. If someone's being watched, they act differently than if they don't know they're being watched. But this relates to like inanimate objects and physical things. Well, how does it even know it's being observed?
Yes. How does a quark know it's being watched in a microscope or whatever?
How does it know?
It's not sentient.
I can walk around town all day. I don't know when I'm on CCTV and when I'm not. Now and again, I see a camera and I think, oh, I'm on CCTV. But I don't know all the time. And it's only when I know I'm being observed that there's a chance of me acting differently. If I don't know I'm being observed, but I'm pretty sure this scientific theory says that if something is being observed, whether it's aware of it or not. And anyway, does that assume that something has an awareness? I mean, that one is just complete. That's just made up, that one. And not even that creatively.
It's just rubbish.
It's just rubbish. Because it hasn't been proved or disproved. But somebody sat and went, I'm thinking, you need a better imagination. That's nothing. That's nothing compared to what I can imagine.
You know where that came from? That came from, that's an excuse.
Yeah.
Someone set out to prove something and he didn't prove it.
Yeah.
And he said, when things are observed, they know they're being observed, so they act differently. That's why this is happening.
Yeah.
That's why my paper is not as good as it should be.
Yeah. He went back to the old proverb of a watched pot never boils. That's about as scientific as that got. There's no science in that at all. The bloke should be ashamed to call himself a scientist if that's the best theory he can come up with.
Yeah, no, that's an excuse.
It's rubbish. I just don't like that one at all. Rubbish. And surely so easy to disprove, I would have thought. You get something to do some things, and then you do it again and observe it and see if the result is the same. Because it will be disproved.
Yeah, yeah.
Or is it one of those paradoxes where you can't... Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's a paradox because if you watch it to see if it does it without being watched, then you're watching it.
You're watching it anyway.
That's all they've done there.
If you set two things in and you get one result, and then if you set two things in again and watch it until its conclusion, it's going to be the same.
Yeah, of course it is. But they're saying, well, that's because you were watching both. So there's no way to measure something.
Watched the entire time.
There's no way to measure something if it wasn't watched. So it's just the greatest paradox ever. And it can't be proved. Someone has just thrown that in because it can't be proved. So why have it anyway? It's just a stupid one. That one annoys me.
Yeah. It's like religion or God.
Exactly the same.
Well, you can't prove a negative. You can't prove that it's there. You can't prove that it's not.
Yeah. What's that one with the teapot? Have you heard that one? Somebody says there is a teapot orbiting the sun. You can say that because no one can prove there isn't. That doesn't mean that one is. You know, if I say there is a teapot orbiting the sun a teapot so small in relation to the sun and it'd be so far away. It's like, you can't prove that there isn't one, so therefore there must be one. That's basically the argument for a god. And it's about as strong as that. I think the Pastafarians are similar, aren't they? You heard about these people?
No.
There is a parody religion called Pastafarianism. And they believe there is a giant spaghetti monster. And no one can prove there isn't one. So they say it's just as valid as any religion.
Yeah, why not?
And they have fought in the past because their religious garb, their vestments are, they wear a colander on their head. And they have fought to be able to have driver's license photographs taken with them wearing a colander on their head, saying that's just as relevant as a...
Yeah, it's religious.
As any religious garment that is worn, you know, a turban, etc., in a driver's license photo. The colander, and I think in some cases they have actually been photographed on their driver's license photo wearing a colander on their head because they claim to be a Pastafarian. But they're playing with that teapot idea. You can't prove there isn't a giant spaghetti monster controlling us and all the rest of it, so therefore there must be one.
Yeah.
The one that annoys me most about religion is the tolerance paradox. You know, we're told we need to be tolerant of other people's religions. But pretty much all religions to varying degrees are intolerant of people's freedom. Whether it's the kind of food they can eat, or if they're women, or gay, or whatever it turns out to be. So we're supposed to be tolerant of an organization that is intolerant. Right there, that's your tolerance paradox.
Yes, inherently intolerant.
Yeah. You know, even in...
Oh, this behavior, no. That you can't do that. That's bad.
Yeah, oh, a woman can be in the church, but she cannot be a priest. A man can be a priest, but he must not be married. Well, he doesn't have the right to find someone and be married. Oh, no.
And he mustn't.
Yeah. And, you know, just in little ways, you know, and you mustn't eat pork if you belong to our religion and whatever, you know. And if you're gay, you get thrown off a building. That's a pretty intolerant
And for this entire month, you can't eat during daylight.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Why can't I?
Yeah.
No, it's Ramadan. You can't eat during the day.
Now, if a country came up with that rule, there'd be a lot of people saying, you can't take away people's freedom like that. They can eat whenever they like. We can't endorse this. It's a religion. Oh, religion, I'm sorry. I'll be tolerant. Why is religion given such a pass on things that otherwise society wouldn't accept? You know, it's like Saudi Arabia are friends with everybody in the world. They've executed more people than ISIS. They behead people and stone them in public. They throw gay people off buildings. And this is condoned by the state in Saudi Arabia. This is all fine as far as we're concerned. Well, that's their religion. We don't want to get involved in their, that's their beliefs. That's what they believe. Well, that's not okay. Because if it wasn't religion, if it was just the state of Saudi Arabia, then we'd be like, "Oh no, we're really not comfortable with this." Because it's their religion, it's just phenomenal. It's just mind blowing how strange it all is.
Yeah, and I still don't understand. Oh, religion. Ah, let's love everybody. But kill those people.
Yes, because they don't believe the same thing we do. They believe something.
Just kill them.
They believe something very similar in a lot of ways, but not exactly the same, so they must die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just strange. It was like, my God is best. No, my God is best. My God's better than your God. Yes. Two sides fighting over who has the best imaginary friend.
But you know what? You know what? We're going to have a crusade. We're going to have four of them. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Take that.
Yeah. And we're going to, you either convert or we kill you. Oh, sorry. Did I say I was Muslim? I meant Christian. Yes, I'm.
Yes, that's what I said. What did I say at first? Oh, sorry. No.
Yeah. I used to believe that. Now I don't. I mean, that's just.
Let's have an inquisition. Are you ready for it?
Yes, let's do. Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition. It's like in this country, when Henry VIII invented the Church of England, the Protestant faith.
Yes.
Because he wanted to get a divorce, right? Not because.
Hey, Rome, can you give me another divorce? No. Okay. Well, Church of England.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. But it wasn't like Jesus came to him in a dream or anything, or he had a vision or anything. It was not like that. It was just because the rules don't, these are a nuisance. And I'm the king. So I'm going to start my own religion. Well, then he goes around and he finds all the Catholic priests and kills them. And he burns down monasteries and all this. Wait a minute. These two religions are virtually identical apart from divorce at this stage. There were a lot of other things came after it when they started putting it together, but not that many. It's so close. It's Jesus and Christianity and disciples and the Bible and the New and the Old Testament and all the rest of it. It's really, really hard to tell the difference at the very beginning between Protestant and Catholic as far as a faith. But oh my goodness, the amount of problems, the difference is just between, you know, through the ages between Protestants and Catholics. The religions are so similar. It's not like.
And to persecute Catholic. Ah, we've been at odds for so long. We're going to prosecute you and persecute you.
Yeah.
Well, you just made it up. You just literally.
Yours is made up.
You just made it up.
And it's really not that different. It's really not. Yes, okay. One side has.
I know I just made it up. But you've really been rubbing me the wrong way ever since. I can't take it.
In fact,
It was last week that you just created this thing.
Yeah. And really, they didn't come up with anything new. They just took out what they didn't like.
So, they borrowed everything and they took
out. And they went, you know what?
You
know what? Let's not bother with this confession thing. Let's not bother with this, priests can't marry. Let them marry if they want. We can eat fish on a Friday and all these different, they didn't actually create anything. They just took the one they had, divorce. Yeah, we'll allow that. They just took the one they had and took out all the bits they didn't like. That's all they did.
Yeah.
It's not like they came up with new rules. They just took out some of the rules they didn't like and kept all the others. And for that, people have died. It's just bizarre. You'd think those two would have, because they've got so much in common, those two are more likely to get on than any of the others. Certainly Jews and Muslims or something. But no. Those two can't get on.
Yeah. Ever.
What chance has anyone got? I don't know. Just don't know. It's just bizarre. To die for something that, well, if you get right down to it, all religions are made up. But, man created God. God did not create man. All of them are made up anyway. But the ones that go back thousands of years, you might be able to forgive them because there's no one around. But like the more modern ones, I mean, Scientology.
Yes.
L. Ron Hubbard was a failed science fiction writer and now he's God.
Or Mormonism for that matter.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Really? You found a book under a tree or in a, what?
Gold tablets
really?
or something? Yeah. And what's the ones where they speak in tongues? Is it Pentecostal? Is that what they call them?
Yes.
They speak in tongues and take up snakes and stuff. It's like. But we have to be tolerant and give them respect. Why? Why do we have to respect religion? Why can't we just say it's silly?
Yes, just call it rubbish. If it's rubbish, it's rubbish. It's done.
Yeah. In this country, the Archbishop of Canterbury makes some statement and the Archbishop of Canterbury has spoken out against this and he said that, who cares what he thinks? He's nuts. He believes there's a magic man in the sky who made him the head of the second in charge of the head of the Church of England. I mean, who cares what he thinks? He's crazy. It's like taking people out of a lunatic asylum and taking what they say and saying, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's got a point. No, that's fine.
Yeah, the Martians are controlling us. Mind you, then we're back to Scientology, aren't we? Because that's not far off what they believe. Don't they believe we've all got aliens inside us that need to be cleansed or something? It's ridiculous. All religion is ridiculous.
But then watch it turn out. Oh no, there is a huge pastor monster, and that they were right the entire time.
Yeah,
we never knew.
Yeah. Now where's my colander? Yeah. Well, that's it for this one. Back with another one soon. And in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm @GrahamMack. You want to hear more Mac Nuggets? Check out my website, macmedia.co.uk, and subscribe to my Bob FM show on Apple Podcasts. Got a question or something to say? Send me an email. Put your phone number in the email. I might call you back. I might Skype you on the show. My email address is graham@macmedia.co.uk, and you spell Graham like the cracker, Mac like the truck. Till next time. Ta-da.